Give him your kind attention, your smiles, but give God your hearts, your ears, and let him give you the understanding of his message tonight. Our brother Rusty Granger.
Thank you, Darren. I was expecting a second song, but okay.
We don't do that here.
No, I was asking you to buy more time.
Oh.
Once again, thank you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for supporting me. As always, I am nervous.
You've got this. God's got you.
That's my soul. Purpose to stand here is just to be the tool that he uses. Okay. Get organized here. One of the toughest parts for me is always that opening. I come before you tonight with a thought on my mind. I think it has something to do with maybe the Christmas season. It's not Christmas, directly Christmas related, but I believe it's something that each and every one of us may struggle with from time to time. And I hope you get the point. By the time I get done, I'll reveal the point to this, and hopefully it will be something that sparks thought in you as an individual. So I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 2. And we're not going to take so much of the message of Proverbs 2 as something from these first 9 verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. If you didn't notice, I kind of highlighted thou. This is about you. This is about me. If thou, will you, if you. Okay, keep that in mind. So we're going to jump to John chapter 14. And I may take some liberties with this as I speak about it, so bear with me. So John chapter 14. The first 4 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And we know these are the words of Christ. Why? As Libby would say, because they're in red. This is Jesus to the disciples. You could look at him as that parental unit. That's Libby's favorite word. not parents, parental units. So here he is. He's a parent. He's giving instruction. He's directing. And he says, "If let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Comforting words, if you're listening. So here in verse 5, one of his disciples, is this the Thomas that we call Doubting Thomas? I don't know. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." If thou will, if you have you seen Jesus? He's saying, look, you've seen me. Because you've seen me, you've also seen the Father. So those first four verses when he says, "I'm going to go, there's a house, don't be worried," he's giving him instructions, and then Thomas comes along and goes, "What? How am I, what? What are you talking about?" And he just tells him again simply, "If you know me, you know the Father. If thou will. If you will believe." He's saying, if you will believe, you'll have understanding. Verse 8. Couldn't happen again, could it? You know? Jesus' disciples, we had, you know, Thomas, he was just off on that day. He just wasn't all together and wasn't thinking right. The rest of Jesus' disciples that are following him, they're all right there in the game. They know the game plan. They're ready to go. It's all written down. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Here's Philip. He's like, obviously he was listening so closely when Jesus said, "If you see me, you see the Father." Philip had to come along and say, "Show us the Father." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? How long have you been walking around with me? You know, we've eaten together, we've 5 loaves, 5,000, a few fish." "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." I can just picture myself. I give instructions to someone or a group, and then I have to turn around and repeat myself. Right about now, my brother said this morning, you know, those people that just give him a whack. That's where I'm at right now. Just bop him on the head. "Aren't you listening?" "And how sayest thou then, shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake." here again, Philip, where you been, buddy? We've healed the sick. We fed the poor. We fed the masses. We've raised the dead. Where you been? That's not me. Jesus says, that's the Father. If you were here and you actually witnessed this, you would know that was not of my hand. That was of the Father's will. 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. This is the point where I can just picture myself, not Jesus, because he's calm, cool, collected throughout any situation. But me, I'm right here. Do you not believe that? Because I go unto my Father. He's telling him, you've seen all of this that I've done. When I've gone and I go to the Father, you can do these things and greater. Why? Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I have all these notes and I'm not even touching them. I just, that was my prayer when I came in here. That was my prayer when I sat in the truck outside. Lord, if you want something different, here we are. Jesus is trying to prepare them, trying to let them know, hey, I'm going to be leaving. This is what's going to happen. And all this time we've spent together, just understand. And yet they come back with these questions, these to me, and I'm human too, maybe I would ask the same question. Maybe I'm not observant, and if I were standing there with him, maybe I'd be a Philip or a Thomas. Say, what? If thou will you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that your heart cannot be troubled because you believe in God and in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life? Do you believe that if you know and believe in Jesus Christ, that you know the Father? Do you believe that you can do those things that Jesus did? Do you believe that you can pray for someone? And they will receive a blessing. Do you believe that everything you pray for, Christ gives you? That's a loaded question. We all know that it depends on what you're praying for, and is your heart right? But I ask you, do you believe that when you receive of the Lord, when you pray to him, do you believe that when he gives you something, that that's what is right? That's a struggle that I know that you have, because I have, that when you pray for something and you know you're earnestly praying for something that you want, and the answer may not be what you want. That's a that's a tough one to swallow, because Jesus himself, because it's in red, said, if you will ask in my name, I'll give it to you. Fourteenth verse. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name, I will do it. Maybe I want a new Harley Davidson for Christmas. I'll pray to the Lord. Maybe I want all my brothers and sisters that are sick. That have had surgeries, to have material, mortal things removed from their bodies. That's what I want. I want them whole again. I want them whole again so that they're here with me worshiping God. That's what I want. That's what I pray for every night. But it may not be his plan. He will give us what is right. He says what is true. He says he is life. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's another challenge we each face and struggle with, I'm sure. Actually, I'm preaching to the choir here because y'all are perfect. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Here we go, the Holy Ghost. He's preparing his children for his departure. And he's saying, just relax. Don't be troubled. It's all right. I'm going to go to the Father on your behalf, and I'm going to give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So here he is, he's explaining all these things, he's trying to lay it out there, he's trying to prepare them. He says, I'm going to leave you a comforter, but I'm going to come again. I'm going to return again, but the world is not going to see me. And why is that? If you believe in Jesus Christ, if they are to believe in Jesus Christ, they would understand what he's saying. I'm going to depart, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you a comforter. He will abide with you forever, but I'm not going to leave you. The world's not going to see me. Why doesn't the world see me? The world doesn't believe in Jesus. Jesus is just another man that somebody wrote a really thick book about. Somebody made up a story to make everybody feel good. If thou wilt believe. Verse 22. So I think finally his disciples are getting it. So Judas is going to ask him a question, but it's not going to be like Thomas or Philip. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to do that? Well, I guess, Judas, if you believe that I am the Son of Man, if you believe that you've seen God because you've seen the works that we've accomplished. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You don't have to turn here. 1 John, 2nd chapter, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Revelations 3:20. Is that right? Yeah. Revelations 3:20. Chapter 3 and verse 20. And this again is Jesus speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, if any of you believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe in the word and the teaching of Jesus Christ, he is standing there at the door waiting for you to answer it. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. There's the answer. That's why the world won't see him. He can knock all day long, but all they see are the things that are right before them. Verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Peace is the world today. What is peace in the world today? Don't say that's wrong. Let them be. Let them do those things that are immoral. It's okay. That's their choice. That's what the world's peace is today, is just turn a blind eye. Give I unto you, excuse me, let me back up. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. All of these things he tells them. And yet you have Thomas, you have Philip, You have Judas. And every one of them comes and asks that question like a child. As a parent, you can tell them all day long, do this, do this, do this. Follow these directions. And they turn around and look at you with this bewildered look and go, do what? How is that? Right? I particularly like the last verse in 27 here where it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we believe in Jesus Christ and we believe that we, through him, we have access to our Heavenly Father, is there anything that could cause you fear spiritually? I like Trevor. Trevor's comment to me one day was, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything. There's nothing that scares me. He has a confidence in his spirituality, in his love of God, in his love of Jesus Christ. Is that to say that he can't be startled? No. I bet if we all applied ourselves together, we could shake him up a little bit. But that's not the point. That's not what he's not afraid of. He's not afraid to face a trial. And I wish you were here. He's not afraid to face a trial, a challenge. Whatever falls in front of him. Why? Because of the confidence through believing that Jesus Christ is his Savior, that through Jesus Christ we have access to our Heavenly Father. And because of that, they've given us a way to communicate. They've given to us that Holy Ghost, that Comforter. You know, it's kind of funny. In our Sunday school class, we're studying Joshua with Gary. And there are all kinds of great examples of believers and non-believers and those temporary believers, which I see as a lot of the people that we deal with in our daily lives in the world, those temporary believers. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I believe in God. I go to church every Sunday, you know, and they turn around and stub their toe, and the first thing out of their mouth is God's name in vain. You know, or the one that they always say, you know, Jesus Christ. And I always look at him and say, it's not his fault. It's not. Why do you blame him? It wasn't his fault that you stubbed your toe or pricked your finger or, you know. Those are your temporary believers. They believe long enough. Do you struggle with belief? Do you find yourself being caught up in the world from time to time? Believing is what? Believing is having faith, right? The world believes in things that they can touch. I pick up the Book of Mormon. Nobody believes in the Book of Mormon, right? We believe in the Book of Mormon because it brings to us more of the example of Jesus Christ and his workings and his love for us. We believe in something that we can't touch. We have faith. That if we give him our all, that if we trust in him, we don't have to be afraid. We can take comfort from that. We can have peace in that. Matthew chapter 16. This is my last reading. I'm going to close with this. Matthew 16, 13th verse, 13th through 19th verse. 16, 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Do you ever ask anyone, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus Christ that you speak of? I don't often get to engage in religious conversation because of the company I work for. And they said, some say, "Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What rock is he talking about? He's looking at Peter and he says, this rock. He's telling Peter, you have faith. You believe because God has shown you. I have been with you. I believe in this very instance. This is the faith. Faith is the rock that he is going to build that gospel on with Peter. I may be all wet, but I'm sorry. I read this and I thought, that is a rock. That is a wonderful foundation. If we can truly, truly believe without doubt that God is our Father and he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross so that we would have an opportunity to repent of our sins, and I can walk upright with a confidence in my heart and my mind that there is nothing that will fall before me that I cannot face because he is with me. And it will come, and it will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Grace saved us, but our works are what we're going to be judged on. The foundation of that mansion that they are building for us starts with our faith. It starts with you as an individual. It starts with every individual to believe in something that you cannot physically see. And I'll testify to you that I am slothful and just, I forget, but he's always there. I love it when my Lord and Savior hugs me. A few years ago, I was going through something in my life that I thought was horrendous. And he was there. And he hugged me. And he told me, "Get up. Move on. Do this. Do that. That's what you have to do." A few weeks ago, I was not thinking about anything except I'm almost home. I'm 6 miles from home. It's been a long day. I drove to St. Louis this morning. I'm on my way home. I'm coming up to Lee Summit Road. I've slowed down because I was, let's just say, not abiding by the law all the way home. But I slowed down. And there she was, middle lane of I-70 and I'm doing 70 miles an hour. But when she stepped out there, when that deer was there and looked me right in the eye through my windshield, there were two arms and two hands that reached around me and held me steady. I swear to you that the Lord hugged me. I believe. Forgive me if I forget, but I believe. I pray for you. Pray for me. I love you all, and God bless.
Well, we have truly heard from the Lord today. This morning, our brother Marvin talked about how the words that Jesus spoke were from the Father. And that when he gave us the Holy Ghost, we were given this tongue of angels to speak what angels speak, and they speak the words of Christ, those same words from the Father. And tonight our brother, Rusty, I was talking to Brother Marvin about after the service, and I was telling him about this struggle that I'm having, this weakness that I have, this where I don't have that confidence, and how those words just spoke me to me today, that I have God's words. And I've been given the Holy Ghost to speak those words of Christ in this situation where I'm unsure, to speak the truth. And the thing that stood out to me was that it doesn't matter if those words are memorized or if I can read them to someone, it doesn't work unless they're right here in my heart. And that's what our brother spoke tonight. Our brother spoke about how John chapter 14, verse 10, the words that he spoke, Jesus, were of the Father. The works that he did were of the Father. And it says, whosoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, can do greater works. And so my weaknesses don't matter. They're not important. What's important that I believe in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he can do all things. And that was the message to me tonight, to believe in him. That's what he lived for. That's what he died for. That's what the Father raised him for, was so that I would believe in him and be a witness of him on this earth. That he can overcome my weaknesses and make me strong to the glory of God.